Of course I do. Aren't we here?
It was a vague answer, but then she'd been fishing in waters that were none of her business. She could feel every woman in line, plus the hostess, sizing him up, so there was no way this could be him just getting back into the game now. And it was a first date for them, so she had absolutely no right to be jealous. But she was, and more than a little bit. The hostess seated them at a corner table for two and gave them two menus. Carrie will be your waitress tonight. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you.
Peyton picked up the menu, ran a finger down one side, and then laid it aside.
I don't know why I even look at it. I always order the same thing. The sampler platter with extra rice, because I can never make up my mind between enchiladas, tacos, or quesadillas.
She didn't even open the menu, but nodded. Then that's what I'll have to. Are their margaritas good?
Very. And they go down smooth with the Mexican food.
Then that's what I want.
So how long were you married?
He asked. How long were you? She shot back, not wanting to lie, but not willing to tell the absolute truth.
15 years. My daughter was 14 when her mother died. That's about Brooke's age, right? Allison is 24 now, second year of teaching biology here in Tyler.
I met Brooke's father on the first ranch I worked at. He boarded some of his prize stock with us, and the owner of the ranch assigned me to take care of them. We lived together for a while, and then I got pregnant. It's complicated. He reached across the table and laid a hand over hers.
Life is, but we don't have to go into that tonight.
We were never really married, she blurted out and wished she could stuff the words right back into her mouth. He was divorced, and he'd vowed he'd never marry again. I thought he'd change his mind when the baby was born. He thought he could change mine about even wanting a real marriage. So we lived together for 4 years, and then he cheated on me one too many times. I don't know why I'm telling you this. Brooke and my mother don't even know that.
Sometimes talking to strangers is easier than friends and family. And when the time is right, you'll tell your family the whole story. I don't think Brooke liked...
He stopped mid-sentence and waved at a tall lady coming toward them.
Ah, kid, what are you doing here tonight?
He asked. I might ask you the same question, she said as she bent to hug him.
Dana, this is my daughter I've been telling you about. Allison, meet my date, Dana. Dana, my daughter Allison,
he said.
Is this your night out with the girls?
That's right. Allison stared at Dana without blinking. You didn't mention that you were going out tonight.
Nope, I didn't. Is this your sorority sisters or your teaching friends?
Sorority sisters. Remember, we always get a table here once a month, she said, and then asked. So where are you from, Dana?
Presently, I live at the lake and run a little resort there. I hear you are a teacher.
This must be the way Peyton had felt when Brooke gave him the third degree. Yes, I am a teacher. We'll talk later, Daddy. Pleased to meet you, ma'am. Allison's tone did not match the words coming out of her mouth.
Well, I guess we've met each other's daughters. That step is over,
Peyton chuckled. The waitress brought salsa and chips to the table and asked if they were ready to order. Peyton nodded toward Dana.
I'll have the sampler platter and sweet tea with a margarita on the side. Please leave the onions off everything.
I'll have the same. Only I want a bottle of beer instead of the margarita, and bring us some jalapeno poppers with our drinks,
he said.
Have your drinks and the appetizers right out, she said, and was gone in a flash.
That step,
Dana brought him back in.
What step?
He asked.
You said that step is over. Does that mean you see more steps?
Yes, I do. I like the way I feel with you, Dana. So if you're willing, I'd like for you to put me on your calendar for a second date,
he said.
How about a s'mores night on Friday evening? If it's not raining, we can make a bonfire.
She might as well jump in with both feet and see if this tingle she'd felt was a passing thing, or if it was truly something to build on.
I'd love it,
he said. Harper couldn't remember the last time that she'd had so much fun. Zed was a good artist, but so was Wyatt, and the giggles during the battles echoed off the walls. For a while, she forgot about the past and concentrated on beating Brooke and Zed in Pictionary. She glanced at the clock and was amazed to see that it was almost 11 when they heard Dana and Peyton on the front porch.
They're back!
Brooke ran across the room and had her hand on the light switch when Tawny covered it with hers.
You don't want to do that unless you want your mama to flash the lights when you come home from your first date, Tawny whispered. She wouldn't, Brooke gasped.
Turnabout is fair play, Zed cautioned.
Wyatt came in right behind him.
Do unto others.
Brooke dropped her hand to her side.
Sounds like Sunday morning sermons to me.
Don't have to be in a church building to get a message from God,
Zed chuckled. Dana came into the house alone, but Harper noticed that her cheeks were flushed, and be damned if her lips weren't more than a little bit bee-stung, giving testimony to the fact that the date had gone very well. She kicked off her sandals and sat down on the sofa beside Brooke. Before you ask, I enjoyed the evening. I like Peyton. We laughed and talked, and after dinner we went by his fish place. It's massive. Never seen so many minnows. And we are definitely going out again. She pulled her knees up and wrapped her skirt tail around her legs.
Did he kiss you? Brooke asked.
Yes, he did, and I liked it, Dana answered.
Well, crap, Brooke groaned.
Anna met his daughter at the restaurant. She came in with friends and didn't know that we were there. From the way she acted, I'd say that she didn't like me any better than you like him, Dana said. Brooke sat up straight and her jawline went rigid.
She's an idiot. Everyone loves you. But maybe that's a sign that you shouldn't get involved.
We're having a bonfire and s'mores party on Friday night right here, so you can all spend time around him. Harper caught the sly wink that Zed sent across the room.
I've got all Annie's guns under lock and key.
Dana giggled. Brooke, you'll be good, won't you? Because if you aren't, I will get even on your first date.
Which is when? Brooke asked.
When you are 40, but only if you take your mama with you. 50 if you want a date alone,
Zed teased. Thank you, Uncle Zed. I think that's a fine idea, Dana said.
Double crap. Ugh, I'm going to bed to think about all this stuff before I fight with any of y'all about it.
Brooke stormed down the hallway, but then turned around and came back to the living room. She crossed the room and hugged Zed.
Thanks, Uncle Zed, for helping me whip Wyatt 3 times.
She'd started down the hall again, then stopped, turned, and sighed.
And thank you, Aunt Tawny and Aunt Harper, for babysitting me, and for helping keep my mind off my mama kissing that ponytail guy. Good night.
Well, that settles it,
Wyatt chuckled.
I'm not growing a ponytail.
Zed laughed with him.
Me neither. I'm too old to be a hippie. But it was a good evening, Dana.
Yes, it was, she nodded.
It's gonna be a short night, Tawny yawned. It was fun. Anytime you want to go out with your hippie, I'm glad to babysit,
she made air quotes.
My niece. Good night, everyone.
She picked up a couple of dirty glasses and carried them to the kitchen on her way out the back door.
Us too.
Wyatt offered his hand to Harper and pulled her up from the floor.
You are a good opponent, Zed. With your poker face, I wouldn't want to gamble with you.
Zed narrowed his eyes.
Smart man, I'd own your boat if we ever got serious about a poker game.
Good night, and I'm glad that you had a good time, Dana. Brooke will come around. Just give her some time, Harper said as she and Wyatt left the house by way of the front door.
Uncle Zed, can you stay just a little while longer? I did something stupid tonight, and... You know what they say about 2 people keeping a secret?
Dana winced to hear those words coming from her mouth.
It's easy if one of them is dead,
Zed nodded.
Well, one of us isn't dead, but... Damn it, this isn't easy.
Then don't say it. When the time is right, it won't have to be hard.
I never was married. I made up that story so you and Granny Annie wouldn't be disappointed in me. And when we broke up, I let everyone think I was getting a divorce instead. The rest of it is pretty true. I fell in love with him, got pregnant, and then found out he was cheating on me and ended it.
She talked fast, as if she was afraid if she ever stopped, she wouldn't finish.
Darling child, I'm so sorry you've been carrying this load all by yourself. You should have told us. We would have understood. Does he take care of Brooke?
He asked. Dana shook her head. There's no father listed on the birth certificate. I was 18 when I went to work on the ranch, and I was taking some online college courses toward a degree. He came into my life not long after that. He was a little older than I was, and we lived together, but we never got married. He skipped out when Brooke was just a toddler. He knocked me around a few times, but when he slapped my baby... Well, I was so angry with him that I told him to get lost and never come back. Tears began to roll down her cheeks.
And?
Zed asked. It was the third time he'd cheated on me that I knew about, so I kicked him out. He was so mad that he said she wasn't even his child, that he'd had surgery after his last child with his wife was born. She is his, but I was so mad, Uncle Zed, that I told him he was right and I was glad that she wasn't his. She'll see that birth certificate someday. What do I tell her? Her shoulders heaved with tears and pain. Zed reached across the distance with his long arm and wiped away the moisture. She grabbed his hand and held it to her cheek. Peyton was right. Telling a stranger was so much easier than telling someone she loved like a grandfather.
You tell her as much of the truth as she can bear to hear at the time. That's exactly what you'll do. But you don't have to worry about it tonight, child. Tonight you put all that sadness out of your mind and you go to bed and dream sweet dreams about this new person in your life.
She kept his hand in hers and held it on the sofa. I don't deserve any of this. Not Granny's legacy, not Peyton, not a daughter who means so much to me, not you for sure.
That's only your opinion. Me and Annie see things different than you girls do.
He said as he pulled his hand away and stood up.
Things look different in the daylight, darling girl. Get some sleep.
Zed sat down in a rusty old metal chair beside the door to his quarters.
Annie, my heart is broken. One of our girls couldn't tell us about the baby because she didn't want to disappoint us. The other one lied to us because of the same reason. It's humbling to feel so loved that someone don't want to bring you heartache, isn't it?
Chapter 14. Demons aren't little red creatures with a forked tail, and they don't carry a pitchfork around in their bony hands. Harper knew that for a fact. Her black cloud demon hovered over her head and followed her around as little bits of it oozed into her heart and soul. It came around again every April 4th, the day she'd signed the papers to give her baby away, the day she'd walked out of the unwed mother's home and didn't even look back. She tried. God knew that she gave it her best, that Wednesday. She pasted on a smile and bantered with the regular customers in the cafe, but by the close of the day, her feet turned to lead as she made her way across the lawn to her cabin. She paced the floor and poured a triple shot of Jack and set it on the nightstand. I will not drink that. She stared at the amber liquid every time she passed it. It only makes it worse. It's all closing in on me, Granny. I'm not as good as my sisters. They can run this place without me, and they deserve to split everything down the middle, not have to share it with me. I should pack up and leave. Tears cannot drown a demon. They only make it angry. Still, Harper's cheeks flooded with tears as she sobbed that evening. Finally, she dragged a suitcase from the closet and threw it on her bed. Fight-or-flight mode had set in, and to fight with her sisters, she had to come clean with them. It was easier to run away and start again. So you're going to let this misery inside you control you and make you leave? I can't fight it. It's stronger than me, she argued with the voice in her head. But is it stronger than your sisters and Zed? Harper picked up the suitcase and hurled it across the room. It hit the door with a bang and slung clothing all over the room. A pair of lacy underwear hung on the ceiling fan, and a bra floated down over the lamp beside her bed.
You okay in here?
Tawny opened the door without knocking.
God almighty, Harper. Why would someone trash your room?
Go away! Harper screamed and threw her stuffed Easter bunny at her sister. Tawny caught it midair.
What's the matter with you? Are you drunk?
No, that won't fix anything now. It's time for me to leave. My heart doesn't want to go, but my mind says that I can't stay.
Harper dropped to the floor, drew her long legs up, and leaned her head on them. Tawny grabbed the phone and hit the button to call the house.
Dana, come quick to Harper's cabin. She's gone crazy and I don't know what to do.
In seconds, Zed, Brooke, and Dana crowded into the room with Tawny. With so many people around her, it reminded Harper again of the day she put her name on those papers. There had been a room full of strangers there when she'd signed the adoption papers, giving that sweet couple the right to hold her baby, to comfort her when she was sick, to clap for her when she took her first steps.
Open your eyes, child.
Zed touched her shoulder.
Go away,
she sobbed. Zed sat down on the floor and wrapped his arms around her.
We can't do that. I'm here for you. Always have been and always will be.
She opened her eyes enough to see Dana and Tawny sitting on the floor in front of her, and then Brooke moved to her other side and her arms joined Zed's. She wasn't worthy of her sister's care, of Zed's love, and she damn sure didn't deserve her precious niece's concern.
How long until he gets here?
Tawny whispered.
You can all go. I'll be fine.
She shut her eyes again and rolled up into a tighter ball. There were too many people there already, and she damn sure didn't need another one smothering her almost to death.
5 minutes, Zed answered.
He's not kin. We should take care of her, Dana said.
But he needs to be here,
Zed whispered.
Until then, we'll just sit with her.
I'm not talking to a preacher, Harper muttered. God don't give a damn about me.
And it would have had my hide tacked to a big pine tree if I called a preacher,
Zed chuckled.
But honey, don't you ever doubt that God loves you. Me and Annie found out years ago that we could worship our Lord without setting foot in a church building.
Brooke sat down on the other side of her and held her hand tightly.
Talk to me, Aunt Harper. Is this because I didn't like Peyton?
Has nothing to do with him,
Harper sobbed. The child didn't even need to be there, seeing her so vulnerable. She should be strong for her niece, but all her strength was gone.
I'm here,
a deep voice said from the doorway. She looked up into Wyatt's eyes as her sisters, niece, and Zed filed out of the room.
Why did you come?
Her voice sounded like it came from a deep well, but then that's where her heart was. So it stood to reason that the rest of her body would be there also. He picked her up off the floor and carried her to the bed.
Because Zed called me, and I'm glad he did. You do not have to do this alone ever again.
He whispered into her hair as he laid her down and stretched out beside her, holding her tightly against his body.
Why is today so tough?
It hits me on her birthday and on April 4th, the day I signed the adoption papers,
she said between sobs.
But I don't want to run anymore. I hoped by being here would be easier. But facing it is so hard, Wyatt.
I know, sweetheart.
His warm breath went from her ear straight to her heart and melted part of the cold darkness lurking there.
Tell me what to do.
She snuggled down even closer to his body.
Just hold me. Don't leave.
I'm not going anywhere,
he assured her. The flashing numbers said that it was exactly 5 o'clock when she awoke, her legs tangled up with Wyatt's and both of them fully clothed. Panties remained on the ceiling fan, and her suitcase was right where it landed when she threw it. But it was a new day, and Wyatt was sleeping beside her. So why was that ugly black cloud still hanging right above her head? She eased out of bed and out the front door. Bare feet and cold, hard gravel did not make good partners, so she stepped gingerly until she reached the grass. Cool dew covered every blade, and it was like walking on a soft velvet carpet all the way to the edge of the lake. She sat down and stretched her feet out until they were in the chilly water. A vision of the enormous church in Dallas came to her mind. The baptismal font was fancy, with a huge mural of trees and flowers behind it. She'd worn a white robe, and the preacher said that she was leaving all her sins in the water, and would be a new creature when she arose from it. At 10 years old, she'd often wondered how the water felt holding the sins of so many people, and where it went when the preacher pulled the plug and let it all go. Did it wash into the rivers, where the sin jumped on people as they swam. At 26, she knew it was simply a symbolic gesture, but as she looked out across the peaceful waters of the lake that morning, she wondered if wading out into it would wash away the pain once and for all. One of the old songs that Zed hummed and sang as he worked in the kitchen came to her mind. The lyrics talking about laying her burdens down ran through her mind. She started humming, and before long she was singing the words, saying that she felt so much better since she'd laid her burdens down. She stood up and took the first step out into the lake. On the third step, the water was up to her knees, and one of her favorite Jamie Johnson songs followed the old gospel tune. She thought of her grandmother as she sang the lyrics in her head, saying that she was telling the world goodbye, and that her new life began with death. Had Harper's new life begun with her granny's death? She stopped singing when she was waist deep in the water.
"Oh, Granny, did you die so that I could find peace?" she whispered.
Zed had just lit his first cigarette of the day and sat down on the bench outside the cafe when he caught a movement down near the lake. Some crazy fool was wading out into the cold water. Then the dark clouds across the moon shifted and lit up Harper's blonde hair, and he threw the cigarette on the ground and began removing his shoes. By the time he got the first one off, she was waist deep and holding her hand up toward heaven.
"Sweet Jesus, don't let her do this,"
he prayed as he tugged on the laces of his second shoe.
"Take me instead. I'm ready to go. I'm old and I've lived my life and I'm ready to go see my precious Annie. Don't take her now."
Then, a blast of light streaked across the area in front of Harper's cabin as the door opened and Wyatt ran out. He leaned on the porch railing and looked toward the lake. Zed kicked off his second shoe, and of all the damned times in the world, had a coughing fit that kept him glued to the bench.
"Thank you, Jesus,"
he said, when Wyatt cleared the porch and took off at a dead run toward the lake. Both arms were above his head when he reached the edge of the water, but before he could dive in, Harper turned around and made her way back to the shore. Wyatt opened his arms and she walked out of that water straight into them. Zed grabbed his chest and took several deep breaths.
"Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for not taking her,"
he said between gaps.
"I don't think I've ever been so scared, Annie, but we still got our girl."
He put his shoes on and went inside the cafe. Busying himself with making coffee and turning on the ovens, he mumbled to himself about how he'd like to put Harper in the timeout chair like Annie had done when she was a little girl. He was still fussing when she came into the cafe with a big smile on her face.
"Morning, Uncle Zed," she said cheerfully.
"Don't you mourning me, girl. You scared the hell out of me. I can't even swim, and I was going to dive into that cold lake water to save you."
His finger shook harder with each word.
"You've got to stop this crap and get on with your life. You were 16 damn years old and didn't have much choice in what happened."
"I know," she said softly. "I wasn't going to drown myself, honest. I was just thinking through a lot of things. I was hoping to find peace."
"Did it work?"
He eyed her carefully to see if she was shooting him a line of bullshit. "Won't know for sure until next year. But if Granny died so I can find peace, then I owe it to her to try."
"Yes, you do. I was praying hard that you wouldn't. Well, you know,"
Zed said. "So I had an angel in heaven, and one still on the earth working for me." She crossed the floor and wrapped him up in a bear hug, then kissed him on the cheek.
"Thank you for that."
"Seems to me like you're leaving one out. Wyatt was ready to dive in there to save you, too."
Zed glanced over her shoulder and smiled at Wyatt, who was coming through the door.
"I'm no angel, not by any stretch of the word. But I'm grateful for the two of you if it helped her at all,"
Wyatt said. Harper walked away from Zed and wrapped her arms around Wyatt's neck. "He's a knight in shining armor, and I was so glad to see him standing on the shore waiting for me."
"I think she's okay now,"
Wyatt smiled. "Maybe not totally, but I've got family and Wyatt to help me if I just ask. I promise I will, Uncle Zed, from now on." Zed held up a pinky finger, and she crossed the room in a few long strides to lock her little finger with his. "I remember you doing this with us when we were kids." With a firm grip, he kept her finger in his, his green eyes boring into hers.
If you don't ask for help, it'll be a long time in the timeout chair for you, young lady.
I hate sitting on a chair, she said. He unhooked his finger from hers and headed for the kitchen.
Then remember that. Wyatt, come on back here with me while she gets the table set up for the breakfast run.
Y'all could raise your voices so that I can hear what you say about me, Harper said. Zed slammed the door and turned on the radio that he kept on the cabinet.
I don't want her to hear what I got to say, and that can be her punishment for coming nigh to giving this old man a heart attack. You saw her go into the water?
Wyatt leaned against the door.
I couldn't get my breath enough to get to her. I was so glad to see you,
Zed said.
I was praying harder than I ever prayed before, except the night that Annie passed. I wanted Jesus to heal her right then and there and let me keep her with me. I felt that kind of thing in my soul when Harper kept taking one step after another into the water. So thank you. But son, if you ever hurt her, it'll be your body they find floating in the lake.
Wyatt clamped a hand on Zed's shoulder.
I could never hurt her. I want to help her heal from all that I helped put her through. I was as much to blame as she was in what happened. And I don't know how I would have dealt with it at 16, but at 26, I just want to be here for her, Zed. Then do a good job of it so I don't have a damned heart attack. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Annie will kick my black butt right down to hell if I let something happen to one of her precious girls.
Wyatt chuckled.
Just think of what she'd do to me.
Zed shivered.
Don't want to think about that. It's too scary. You get on back out there and help her get things ready for the breakfast rush, and I'll give you your meal for free this morning. Thank you,
Wyatt said.
And thanks for calling me.
Zed nodded very seriously. Wyatt opened the door to find three sisters and Brooke squared off in the dining room, hands on hips, dirty looks shooting around like fire from sparklers on the 4th of July.
I think maybe you'd better come on out here, Zed. What I think is that you better shut that door and stay on this side of it with me, Zed told him. They got to work this out by themselves.
Wyatt eased the door shut.
What can I do to help you? Stir this sausage. Keep it moving real slow-like. When they get done, they'll have worked up an appetite.
What in the hell is going on in here?
Dana hissed and nodded toward the closed kitchen door.
You know Uncle Zed is...
in the kitchen with Wyatt.
Tawny finished for her and then pointed at Harper.
She tried to drown herself this morning.
Brooke ran across the floor and put her arms around Harper.
Why would you do that?
I did not try to drown myself. Harper took a couple of steps back. Tawny opened her hands, put them both on Harper's chest, and pushed her hard.
Yes, she did. She started to drown herself this morning.
Tawny's voice got higher and shriller with each word.
I was having a nightmare about Granny Annie being in water that she couldn't get out of, so I went outside on the porch.
Harper grabbed the edge of a table to keep from falling. Her hands knotted into fists.
Don't push me, little sister, because I will push back. And I don't have to explain anything to you, she said. You need to get your story straight before you go telling tales. I was only waist deep in water, and I can swim like a fish. I wasn't even thinking of drowning myself. Give me some credit.
Dana took a few steps forward and got nose to nose with Harper.
Have you lost your mind? What happened, Tawny?
She was singing a song about facing death, and then she walked right out into the water. Almost gave me a heart attack. But then Wyatt went running down there, and she turned around and walked into his arms, Tawny said.
Harper pulled out a chair and plopped down into it.
I was thinking about Granny. The song was about her, not me. I was wondering if she had to die to bring me peace.
Peace for what?
Brooke asked as she scooted a chair close enough to Harper that she could hold her hand.
Just peace for all the hatred, anger, and guilt I have built up inside me, Harper said honestly.
What's that got to do with me?
Dana asked.
I've hated you so much,
Harper pointed at Dana.
Hey, now, I know we don't always get along, but hate is a strong word. Why would you feel that way?
Because you have a beautiful daughter, and you kept her and raised her, and you were old enough that you could marry her father.
But,
Dana started. Harper shook her head emphatically.
I didn't do the same thing you did. I gave my daughter away. And I go through this guilt trip every single year on her birthday and on the day that I gave her away and walked away from the girl's home. That's what it was, Tawny, not a boarding school. Mama sent me away because she was ashamed of me and because she couldn't face her friends if her daughter had a bastard child.
I didn't send you away. Why would you hate me?
Tawny asked.
Because you've always been the favorite who got all the breaks. Daddy wanted a son. Hell, they even gave me a boy's name.
I always felt like I was just a replacement for his guilt over Dana, and you were the wanted child.
Tawny plopped down in a chair, suddenly out of energy. And you ran away from there because you didn't want to come back home and live with her?
I could have lived with Mother. Maybe. But I couldn't face Granny Annie for a couple of years.
You were only 16?
Brooke gasped.
That's only 2 years older than I am.
That's right, Harper nodded.
Dana's heart went out to her sister. If she'd been 6 years younger, if she'd not been out of college, if her mother had practically thrown her out, she might have done the same thing. A cold chill made its way slowly down her back, like an ice cube melting at her neck and sending little trickles inching down her spine. She could have easily been in Harper's shoes if any one of those statements had been her portion in life.
Why didn't you tell us? Why did you wait? Whoa. We've got a niece out there in the world, Dana stammered. Her name is Emma Joanna, and I held her for an hour after she was born. Then I handed her to the nurse who took her to her adoptive parents. Harper finally sat in a chair at the table with Tawny. She was 9 on March 30th, and I signed the final papers on April 4th. Then I walked out, and I've been on my own ever since. And I still feel guilty about giving away my child.
I'm so sorry.
Brooke stood up and then sat down in Harper's lap.
I love you, Aunt Harper, and Mama will share me with you to make it easier. Daddy fell apart when he disappeared. He was never the same after that.
Tawny's voice was barely more than a whisper.
Believe me, I wasn't the favored one like you thought.
Is Wyatt the father? Dana asked.
Harper nodded.
Holy smoke,
Tawny sputtered.
Did you tell Mother or Daddy?
Nope. I didn't even tell the nuns at the home. I said I didn't know who the father was. There were lots of girls there who really didn't know, so it wasn't a big deal, Harper said. Have all y'all been baptized? I was thinking of that this morning when I went down to the lake.
Brooke shivered from her hair to her toes.
No, ma'am. In our church, they sprinkle the babies. I can't imagine letting some man put my head underwater.
Harper wrapped her long arms around her petite niece and hugged her.
Well, I was baptized when I was 10. Mama believed in taking us to church, not as much for the religious aspect as the social part. We got all dressed up and had to sit up straight.
And not yawn or wiggle in the pew, Tawny said. I remember when the preacher ducked you under the water. Part of me hoped that he'd drowned you.
What does any of that have to do with today? And shame on you, Tawny,
Dana said, her tone shrill.
I felt guilty about that feeling for years, Tawny whispered. I thought maybe it was why you never came home from that girls' school, that you could read my mind.
Had no idea how you felt. We were sisters, but we sure weren't friends. But anyway, the preacher said that I left my sins in the water, and I wondered if I walked out into the lake if the water would help me get rid of the guilt. I know it sounds crazy, but I feel more at peace right now than I have in 10 years, so don't judge me.
Tawny hated confrontations. She'd let her sorry-ass boyfriend pin the majority of the rap for a drug deal on her because she didn't want to stand up to him and tell him that she wouldn't carry them in her purse.
I've always hated both of you because you had a father and I didn't, Dana said bluntly.
But you have a wonderful mother, Tawny said.
Dana finally slumped into a chair.
I can truthfully say that I never doubted that she loved me, but wonderful might be pushing the envelope quite a ways.
Granny Lacey is, well, she's never grown up. I love her and we get along real good, but she's a teenager at heart.
Brooke explained.
Trust me, Dana, Tawny said.
The way I see it is that Daddy carried so much guilt about the way he treated your mama that he allowed our mother to walk all over him. I guess in reality, we all got the short end of the stick.
Which brings us to this morning, Harper said. So what do we do from this point forward?
Well, I'll tell the bunch of you one thing.
Brooke bounced off Harper's lap.
If you don't start acting like family, I'm going to divorce the lot of you. Now, I'm hungry and I bet breakfast is ready, so I'm going in the kitchen. If y'all got some more fighting to do, I don't want no part of it. And if anyone throws a punch, I'm sending Uncle Zed out here.
Out of the mouths of babes. Sometimes they see things clearer than all the adults in the world put together.
Tawny pushed the chair back.
I'm starving. All this drama has built up my appetite. I was wondering if maybe I should go down to the lake and baptize myself,
Tawny said softly.
For what?
Harper looked up at Tawny.
Just making a statement.
Tawny felt a tightening in her chest, but she couldn't make herself tell them about getting kicked out of college, or about the drug charges, or being so scared in court that she couldn't stop shaking. Dana was so busy wrestling with what lay ahead in her own personal world that she didn't even see Harper get up or Wyatt come out of the kitchen, but a movement caught her eye. And she looked up in time to see Wyatt throw an arm around Harper's shoulders and kiss her on the forehead.
I've gotta go now, but I'll be back later. Wanna go to dinner with me?
Maybe I'll just pack us a picnic supper and we'll have a visit down at the edge of the lake, she said.
That sounds good to me,
Wyatt said.
See you at 7 then?
When he'd disappeared out the door, Zed came out of the kitchen.
Y'all through fighting out here, or do I have to line 3 timeout chairs up against the wall?
They're done with it,
Brooke answered for them.
Right, Aunt Tawny?
Okay, okay, Tawny said with a huff.
Mama?
Dana shrugged and headed over to the coffee machine and poured 3 cups.
What a week. This is enough.
She rolled her eyes toward the ceiling. I'm expecting the rest of this month to be smooth sailing.
I don't think you get to tell God what to do,
Zed said.
If you're lucky, he might tell you what he's gonna do, but mostly he just likes surprises.
Amen, all 3 sisters said at the same time. Chapter 15 Dana was more nervous on Friday night than she'd been when Peyton picked her up for their first date. She made one more walk through the small house. Throw pillows were fluffed. No games or shoes littered the freshly swept hardwood living room floors. Bathroom was sparkling clean, with no bras or panties drying on the shower rod for the first time. Brooke and Tawny were busy helping Zed find enough dry wood to start a small blaze in the fire pit in the backyard. The last time they'd had a s'mores and hot dog roast, they'd simply built a bonfire. But a drought years ago had put an end to that. When the authorities lifted the ban, Zed built a fire pit for Annie's birthday. That's what they were using tonight.
Hey, I'm here,
Harper called out as she entered the house through the back door.
Wow, talk about organized.
7 wire hangers turned into skewers, and all the makings for hots and s'mores.
Dana waved her hand over the table.
Where's Wyatt? You did invite him, right?
He's out there with Uncle Zed getting the fire started. What time does Peyton get here?
Any minute. I'm so nervous that I'm having severe second thoughts. Before Peyton, I've never brought a guy home for Brooke to meet.
She's never even met one on date night. I always made arrangements for her to stay with friends.
Dana stopped to straighten the already perfect pile of paper napkins.
And what about 2nd, 3rd, or more dates?
Harper asked.
Only one ever got past the 3rd date, and after spending the night with him, I figured out real quick there would not be a 4th, she answered.
So you haven't been celibate for the past 10 years?
Harper picked up a sweet pickle and popped it into her mouth.
Have you?
Dana asked.
Hell no. Can you count how many times you had to lay your wings and halo aside for the night? Can you?
Again, Dana answered a question with a question.
I asked you first, Harper answered.
More than once, less than 5. Your turn, Dana said.
More than 5, less than 50. But there were some nights when I didn't remember much the next day, so I can't be sure, she said honestly. Holy smoke, girl. You better get tested before you get into a serious relationship with Wyatt, Dana said. Already did a few months ago when I decided I'd better get my life together. But who says I'm going to get into anything serious? No one wants damaged goods. Wyatt will move on in a few weeks or months.
Hey, y'all. We got us a fire blazing, and Peyton is here.
Wyatt poked his head in the back door.
I heard that last remark, Harper. I'm not going anywhere, and I'll prove it to you in the next few weeks or months.
I thought he'd knock on the front door and I'd have a moment before I took him outside with Brooke, Dana whispered, just loud enough for Harper to hear. Well, plans changed, Harper winked. Tell everyone to come on in here and get a hanger or stick, whatever they want to call it, and get busy roasting. Dana's got it all laid out.
Will do,
Wyatt said. Harper laid a hand on Dana's arm and squeezed gently. Just go with the flow. Brooke was the first one inside the house, and she hit the door talking.
Mama, I love this fire pit thing. Uncle Zed says we can sit around it any time we want, but that pretty soon it'll be too hot to want a fire. Next winter when it's cold, we can have marshmallow roasts around it every night.
She stopped to catch her breath and then went on.
He built it with his own hands. He says that Granny Annie liked to sit out there even when it was snowing last winter, and that he bundled her up in quilts. Can we do that next winter? You think we'll really get a lot of snow? Like, enough to build a snowman? Slow down, girl.
Tawny came in behind her.
Granny Annie used to tell me that we only get so many words in a lifetime, and you're using up a lot of yours.
Harper handed Brooke a wire skewer and a hot dog. Don't listen to her. Granny just said that so she'd shut up. When Tawny told a story, she started with, "And on the first day, God made dirt," and went through the whole history of mankind before she got to the part where some kid had caught more fish than she did that day down at the lake.
So I tell a good story. There's nothing wrong with that, Tawny protested. Maybe I'll be a writer someday. You'd probably be a good one, Aunt Tawny,
Brooke nodded. Dana chuckled.
I used to pray that my baby girl wouldn't get that from you. I guess God said no.
Dana turned to Brooke.
And to answer your multitude of questions, yes, darling, we can make a fire, and yes, it does snow sometimes in this area, but not every winter.
She looked up to see Peyton with Zed right behind him.
Hello. Welcome to my crazy world.
Looks like a fun world. With no siblings, I got to admit I'm a little jealous of this kind of family gathering.
Peyton caught her eye and lit up the room with a brilliant smile.
You'll be dropping down on your knees and giving thanks for your lot in life by the time this night is done.
Dana's heart threw in a couple of extra beats and then settled into a semi-normal rhythm.
I doubt it.
Peyton reached for the last two hangers and threaded hot dogs on both of them.
You like yours burned or just browned up real nice?
He looked right into Dana's eyes and his smile widened.
Browned.
Then with mustard, chili, and relish?
He took a step and their shoulders were touching.
And no onions, right?
How did you know that?
Harper stuck a hot dog on a wire and headed toward the back door with a sideways wink at Dana.
She asked for them to be left off everything at the Mexican place,
he answered.
Good job, Peyton.
She gave him a thumbs up as she left.
That's sweet that you remembered,
Dana said softly. Her ex couldn't even pass one of those simple tests asking things like the significant other's favorite color or flower. But then, it wasn't right to compare apples to oranges or idiots to geniuses. He brushed her hair away from her ear and whispered,
I remember every single thing about that evening. It was the best time I've had in years.
She looked up to say something, but she barely had time to moisten her lips before his found hers in a scorching hot kiss. When it ended, she leaned in for a second one and almost lost her balance before she realized that he'd taken a step back.
I guess we'd better get on out there with the rest of them,
he said hoarsely.
Might be a good idea,
she whispered, amazed that she could utter a single word. Zed had circled the fire pit with old metal lawn chairs of every color and description. Two were left empty, side by side, which surprised Dana when she and Peyton arrived. Holding the hot dog wires in one hand, he pulled out her chair from the circle and seated her before scooting his back far enough to get inside the circle. Then, he held the hot dogs at just the right distance over the blaze to turn them the right shade of brown.
What do you think, lovely lady? Is this about right?
He asked Dana.
Looks good to me, she smiled.
Then I'll bring it back all dressed up before you can blink twice. Want a beer or sweet tea?
Sweet tea and barbecue chips.
She felt like a queen. Of course, it wouldn't last. All good things came to an end, but by golly, she intended to enjoy every single minute of the evening. For maybe a minute, she sat there with only Harper, who was busy making sure her hot dog was perfectly done, and then Tawny came out of the house with a full plate of food.
If you get tired of that guy, you can throw him into cabin number 7. He's a sweetheart.
He's got a daughter 2 years older than you, girl. He's old enough to be your father, Dana said.
Maybe I've got a daddy complex.
Tawny bit into her hot dog and groaned. Dana stole a chip from Tawny's plate.
Not while I'm in your life. So how are you today, Harper? I was so swamped at the store that I didn't have time to even take a lunch break.
Pretty good, Harper answered.
Not over the moon ecstatic, but calmer than I've been in a very long time.
I've been wondering, Dana said.
How often did y'all see each other since?
Well, you know.
Tawny glanced at Harper.
Maybe half a dozen times. She came through town once, and we had lunch together. She insisted on paying for it, and I felt terrible when she dragged out change to finish out the bill. The rest of the times, it was just a lunch or maybe a breakfast, and I'd whip out my mother's charge card before she could dig in her purse for money. I couldn't imagine having to work for minimum wage like you did. At least, not until I got booted out of Mama's good graces and had to work. But when I had to work, I liked being independent.
You paid for our meals that day with Mama's money? What happened when she found out?
Harper grinned.
She raised hell when she checked the bill and found dinner for two at a cheap restaurant on a bad side of town. When I told her that I'd paid for your meal, she deducted that amount from my next month's allowance. It was worth it,
Tawny said flatly. Harper giggled.
It's a wonder she didn't stroke out.
I thought she might,
Tawny laughed with her. Dana made a mental note to call her mother soon and tell her that she loved her. Maybe someday Retha would come around and realize that she was missing a relationship with her girls. But maybe she wouldn't. Sometimes folks didn't realize what they'd missed until it was too late. And that's your lesson to yourself tonight. Don't let something fall through your fingers when you've got a good firm grip on it. Peyton squeezed between two chairs and handed her a plate of food.
Just the way you like it.
Yes, it is. And thank you so much.
She smiled up at him.
I'm going back to get mine ready. Don't let anyone steal my chair. Can I get you anything else?
I think I've got everything I need.
For the first time in years, she really felt that way, and this was only their second date. Brooke sat down on the other side of her and nudged her with an elbow.
Uncle Zed's hands were shaking when he poured his glass of iced tea. Is he all right?
Probably just tired. It's been a long day for him,
Dana said, hoping that she was right. She'd noticed that he'd coughed a lot more these days, and that his overalls were getting even baggier than usual. He gripped the tea glass so tightly that his knuckles turned practically white, and when he took a bite of his hot dog, he used both hands to guide it to his mouth. Surely God wouldn't take him so soon after Granny Annie. That might be more than any of them could bear, especially Harper, who worked with him every day. She might be tall and tough-looking, but the last few days had proven just how fragile she was. Peyton returned and sat down on her right side.
How often do y'all do this? First time they've used the fire pit,
Zed said.
Don't expect it'll be the last. Me and Annie, we like to sit out here with a blazing fire going. We'd make up stories about where we were and what was going on.
Tell us one,
Brooke begged.
Well, my favorite one is that we were traveling across country right after the Civil War, and this was our fire when we unsaddled our horses that night and made camp in a place that looked like this. We could hear the coyotes howling in the distance and the crickets and tree frogs singing to us,
he answered.
That's all?
Tawny asked.
That's all,
Zed nodded. But something in the wistful look in his eyes told Dana that the rest of the story was very personal. She was about to suggest that they tell a story, but Peyton beat her to it.
Let's start our own story. Zed, would you begin?
Peyton said. Zed nodded.
There's 7 of us in this covered wagon. We used to be 8, but the grandma died along the trail. Now we've circled our covered wagons with all the others. There's 20 wagons all total. We've had our supper, and each family is sitting around their own campfire talking about the gold mines where we're headed. That'd be out in California. We left with a wagon train up in Missouri, so we're somewhere in the middle of Nebraska tonight. Now it's your turn, Brooke.
I hate this wagon train. I don't have air conditioning or an indoor bathroom, Brooke giggled. I sure wish I didn't have to wear all these clothes.
How do you know about what they wore? Tawny asked.
I studied it in school. We even had to dress up in period clothes from back then, she answered. Before I got into the time machine, I was driving a brand new Corvette and wearing skinny jeans. Now I'm eating beans and hoping that the bushes out there give me enough cover when I have to go. Now it's your turn, Aunt Tawny.
Dana smiled at her daughter's quick wit about a time machine, but she read a lot of science fiction. Tawny held up a finger while she ate the last bite of her hot dog.
Well, I was the one who talked you into getting into that time machine with me. I thought I dialed the number to throw us a couple of 100 years into the future, but I tend to get numbers turned around and I hit the wrong ones. Now here we are, walking 10 miles a day beside a covered wagon, or else riding in the back of the thing. I think my older sister Harper has a history with the wagon master Wyatt. She keeps flirting with him, and now it's her turn.
Well done, little sister, Dana thought, and made a mental note to buy Tawny's first novel if she ever got around to writing it. Harper took a drink of her sweet tea and smiled at Wyatt. I'm not flirting. I'm trying to be nice to him so he'll let our wagon be first in line. You know what they say? If you ain't the lead dog, the scenery never changes. I'm tired of breathing everyone else's dust and being careful not to step in mule crap all day. But tonight, I'm real happy that we've got clear skies and a big old pretty moon. I'm hoping that when we get to California, the pretty dress in my trunk still fits me, because I'm losing weight. Your turn, Wyatt.
Good cover, Harper. Dana smiled.
Peyton nudged Dana with his shoulder.
You've got a couple of pretty smart sisters.
Yep, I'm finding that out, Dana nodded. Wyatt's deep drawl picked up the story.
I'm the wagon master, and I've had my eye on Harper since we left Missouri. She's a tough woman and independent as they come. Way out of my league. I'm just a common old wagon master, and she'd never look at me. Tonight I'm tickled that she's invited me to the fire where she and the folks from her wagon have made supper. I get lonely, riding my horse up ahead of the wagons, and I'd like her to ride with me, but I'm afraid of rejection. Now it's your turn, Peyton. I'm the scout, so I go out a day's distance and then come back to the wagon train at night, saddle weary and tired. Y'all good people pretty often ask me to sit by your fire. It's a tough job, but I have to do it, so we know if the watering holes are still where they were on the last trip. Tonight, we're camped by a beautiful lake, and I get to sit by the prettiest girl on the wagon train. It's full of mail-order brides going to California. I'm just hoping that this one lady hasn't signed a document to be someone else's wife, because she's kind of taken my eye with her beauty and grace. Besides, she's a fine cook. I guess it's your turn, Ms. Dana.
He caught her gaze. The blaze flickered in his light blue eyes, and she was suddenly completely tongue-tied for a full minute. She'd rather have dragged him around the house to the porch swing and made out with him like a couple of high school sophomores than continued the story. Dana looked into the fire and started.
I had to get into the time machine with my daughter. I couldn't possibly let her make this trip alone, not even if her aunt was going with her. And now, I'm enjoying the trip so much, I'm not sure I want to go back to the future. But California's not my favorite choice either. Tonight, I'm about to put forth an idea to the rest of my team. How about we leave the train and settle down right here by this lake and build us a little general store? If there's going to be wagon trains on this route, we can make some money selling supplies. I really like this place.
Hear, hear, Zed clapped his wrinkled hands. What an amazing end to the story. This may be my new favorite one. Now I'm going home and leaving you kids to enjoy the rest of the evening.
Good night, Uncle Zed.
See you in the morning, Harper said.
Zed slowly made his way into the darkness.
Good night to everyone.
And since I'm a good cook and we've decided to live by the lake, let's bring out the makings for the s'mores, Dana said.
It was after 10 when Dana walked Peyton to his vehicle. With an arm on each side of her, he pinned her against his car and kissed her eyelids and the tip of her nose, and then found her lips in a series of kisses that came close to blistering the paint right off his fancy vehicle. Her arms snaked up around his neck, and her hand freed his ponytail from the rubber band so that she could tangle her fingers in his thick blonde hair. It felt like strands of pure silk floating through her fingers. She'd had no idea until that moment that there were erogenous zones in her fingertips, but heat flowed from them to places in her body that begged for more. Finally, he stepped back and cupped her face in his hands.
You are such a beautiful woman, Dana. I had a wonderful time tonight. There's no way on God's great green earth that I can ever top this evening.
It was on the tip of Dana's tongue to say that she could think of a couple of ways he could make tonight pale in comparison, but that would be rushing things entirely too much.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I sure felt like a queen tonight with all the attention you've given me.
Oh, honey, this was just the tip of the iceberg. When can I see you again?
Well, definitely on Thursday, since that's the day you'll be in the store, she teased.
I might need a cold soda pop tomorrow while I'm out delivering bait.
He ran a forefinger down her jawline.
I bet I could sell you one.
She closed her hand around his.
Good night, Peyton.
Night, Dana. Sleep tight and dream of me.
You do the same.
She started toward the house. From the porch, she could see him still standing beside the car. He waved and blew her a kiss, and then got inside and drove away. Brooke was sprawled out on the sofa as she entered. Dana wished for the first time that her daughter was already asleep in bed.
I've decided that I like him, Brooke said bluntly.
Dana sank down in the rocking chair.
Why?
Brooke sat up and shrugged.
Because he didn't try to impress me. He only had eyes for you. That's the kind of man you deserve. Someday I will grow up and have a house and a family of my own.
Cabin, not house, Dana told her. You will just move from here into a cabin.
Okay, for today it's a cabin, but when I'm gone, I want you to have someone who looks at you like Peyton does, and who'll treat you like the queen you are. Now I'm going to bed. Tomorrow we'll be busy.
I love you, little girl, Dana said.
Just being honest, Mama, like we've always been with each other.
Chapter 16 Connie awoke on Sunday morning and turned on the radio to the same country music station that Zed listened to in the cafe. The House That Built Me by Miranda Lambert was midway through the song. Using the curling iron for a microphone, she sang right along. The lyrics of the song said that a person couldn't go home again, but if she could go into the house, she could find herself and start healing. Only the house that Tawny sang about wasn't the house that she'd lived in her whole life, but the little two-bedroom one where Dana lived. That's the real house that built her. When the song ended, she continued to hum it as she slipped a pair of skinny jeans up over her hips and pulled a lightweight blue cotton sweater down over her head. Stay by Sugarland began to play, and she sat down on the bed. Even though her rich jackass of a boyfriend hadn't been married, she'd begged him more than once to stay the night with her. Looking back and knowing what happened after the court hearing, she understood why he'd never stayed with her. His real girlfriend, the one he'd never asked to go with him on a drug deal, was the woman that he sat beside in church on Sunday morning. She was the one who sat behind him and supported him that day in court when the judge let him off with a slap on the wrist.
Bless her heart. She may have him now, but she ain't got much, Tawny said as she headed for the cafe for breakfast,
humming the Miranda song as she crossed the gravel lane and the grassy lawn. As usual, she was the last one to the cafe. Harper, Dana, Brooke, and Zed clustered around a table with Flora. Tawny's heart dropped to her knees, because their faces all said something was terribly wrong.
Flora is retiring as of right now,
Zed said.
We've been waiting for you to get here, because she has something to say to all of us.
Tawny sat down with a thud in a chair, her mind spinning as to how to take care of the business without Flora.
Is this a joke? Please tell me it's a joke.
No, it's the truth.
I was trying to hold out on retiring until Cassidy finished up this school year. Her mama has been settled out in Arizona for a few weeks and wanting us to join her, but Cassidy didn't want to leave her friends. But things have gotten out.